We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
Doing? Ron, I can already tell you're going to need to turn this mic down. I like to kill somebody if I preach at this volume. All right. Getting those lights back up. I love you guys. Welcome, one and all, to Redemption Church. Merry Christmas to everyone here in Plano, Texas. That's where we are for all of you people online. But Merry Christmas, a warm Christmas greeting to everyone watching, listening online. What is Christmas about? Well, we can answer that in three words. Want to help me? God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. The true message of this season is that you are not alone. And there are so many people that you see that feel like they are all alone. Our message to them is very simple. You are not alone because God is with us. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 is our scripture memory verse. Anybody got it memorized yet? Let's look at it together. Read it together with me. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In week one, we told you that God is with us in the silence. There was 400 years of silence, and it would have been really easy to think God wasn't with us, but he was with us. The birth of Jesus is proof that God and his promises are always with us. And last week, we told you that God is with us in the pain. Remember that? God is with us in the pain. We told you about a dead marriage, a dead reputation, and a dead baby, and they're all found within the Christmas story. It was in the middle of that pain that Jesus came to earth. God is still found even in the middle of our pain. Today I want to tell you that God is with us in the struggle. Can you say struggle? Struggle. Now, Redemption Church, do any of you know what struggle is? Yeah. Do you know what struggle means? Is there anyone here that you actually need me to define what struggle is? Right? Like, no, crickets. No one actually needs you to define. It's like one of those useless definitions. You look it up in the Webster's dictionary, is like, there's no need in looking up that word because everyone knows what that word means. Everyone experiences struggle. You know exactly, even if you can't put words to it, you know what it feels like. Well, in case there was someone that came to church today that never had a struggle in life and they needed it to be defined, I went ahead and prepared, right? Struggle means this: to push, strive, and work to achieve or attain something in the face of difficulty or resistance. You're trying to attain, you're trying to accomplish something, you're pushing, you're working to achieve it, yet there is face-to-face with you difficulty and resistance. Anybody know exactly what that is? Of course you do, right? When you are trying to do something but it isn't easy, that's a struggle. When you are trying to help someone but they don't understand your motive and it just turns into a fight, I mean, you can even have the right intention, right? That's a struggle, right? When your dreams are on life support and you feel like you can't do anything less than your best at all times because it's about to fall apart at any moment, that's a struggle. You know what I'm talking about? When you are trying to drag your family out of debt, but it seems like everything you own is breaking. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's a struggle. Somebody preach with me. When you are pushing to do what you are pushing to do starts to push back against you
That's a struggle. There's all kinds of struggles, money struggles, people struggles, health struggles, emotional struggles, faith struggles. The list could go on and on. You know it's true. But I want to tell you this. The struggle is real. Look at somebody say, the struggle is real. That's a saying that gets said a lot. The other day, I was walking through the mall. We were doing some of that shopping that many people are doing right now, and we were crazy enough to go to the mall. But we were walking in the mall with pushing that cart. We had our boy with us, and we were going along the way. And there was a dad with a little dude with him, and that little dude had a shirt that says, "The party is right here," or something. It's like one of those shirts. And that kid had it with shopping. That kid was just crying and screaming, and that dad was like, come on. That's the party is real. I was like, what a great shirt for that. And I looked at that dad, and I said, hey, man, the struggle is real. I know exactly what you're dealing with. I know what. Just give me 5 minutes. My dude will be the same, all right? That's what, you ever tell someone the struggle is real? It's one of those sayings that we have. Can I just tell you for a moment that you aren't crazy? I mean it. You aren't crazy. The struggle is real. You're not imagining this difficulty. It's real. You're not making up these issues. They are real. The struggle is real. Sometimes we people are the worst at recognizing the struggles of others. And sometimes we belittle the struggle of others. Have you ever opened up to someone about your struggle and felt like they just didn't even hear you? You ever feel like you unloaded your heart and at the end of it, it just like dropped to nothing and you're like, why do I even bother? Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Come on. Hey, no, put hands down. Let's get real. Ever feel that way in the church? Come on, get real in the church house. Let's get real. The struggle is real, and there are times we open up about our struggle, and people respond in silly ways, destructive ways, flippant ways. You want an example? Well, I'll give you a real-life example. You tell someone about the struggle of parenting your child and that you feel like you are not doing it well, and the person responds, well, you know, it's nothing a belt wouldn't fix, and it is all I can do to not snap at them and say, do tell me how spanking my child will spank the autism right out of them. Please tell me. How many times do I need to spank my child for him not to have Asperger's? You please tell me that as I'm opening up about my struggle. You see, you know, I just back off. Don't say it. But those things go through your mind. No one in here, because y'all are all awesome. People don't always understand your struggle. No, they don't. You know why? Because these people aren't ready to talk about your struggle because they haven't dealt with their own struggle. Many of them haven't admitted to their own struggle. There's something in them that want to take their struggle, hide it under a rock, and act like it does not exist. And for you to come up here with a list of struggles, hey, man, I'm not perfect, and I'm dealing with these things. They aren't ready to deal with their own struggles. So guess what? They are not equipped at all to deal with your struggles. It happens. Christians aren't always great at responding to someone in a struggle. Can I give you a Christian example? Here it is. No one get offended, please. You open up about something you're really struggling with, and you tell them you feel like you're just barely holding on. You really lay it out there. You let them know you're not perfect. You let them know all these things, and they respond with Christian cliches. Have you ever heard a Christian cliche? Oh my goodness, I tell you what, here's the bad things about cliches. Sometimes they're even truthful phrases, but they're said so much or they're said so haphazardly without really gut response, love behind them, that they're just like paper mache. Even if they're truthful phrases, here's one of those Christian cliches right here. You opened up and they said, well, brother, you just gotta have faith. No, wait. You know, like confessing my struggle isn't having faith? Like admitting that I don't have it all together isn't having faith? Oh, you think acting like everything's perfectly fine when the whole world's falling apart, you think that's faith? Come on. That's some ridiculous stuff. Anybody ever have it happen to them? Yeah. Raise your hand. Come on. I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not. Oh, how about this one? This is a Christian cliche. Well, sister, I'll be praying for you, right? Oh, right, wait. You will be praying for me? I always have the feeling that they don't actually pray for you. I'll be praying for you. This is what I'm supposed to say. So here it is. Well, sister, I'll be praying for you. Now let's talk about something else. Those cowboys, by the way. Never mind. Like, they're passionate about one topic, and then they say, I'll be praying for you with lifelessness. You ever experience that? How about this? Why not pray now? I'll be praying for you. Why don't we stand in faith right now? I think that's a lot more biblical than I'll be praying for you. Look at somebody saying, I'll be praying for you. Now look at somebody say, let's pray right now. Next time you got permission from your pastor, next time somebody just pulls out one of those, I'll be praying for you, just grab them by the hand and just start praying right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, just go to church right there. Come on, faith, let's do it. Redemption. Can we be a church that stands with people in their struggle? Can we stop standing in judgment against people and start standing in faith with people in their struggle? You're going to stand somewhere. You got to figure out where you're going to stand. So you're going to stand on the judgment side of people in their struggle? Or are you going to walk over in someone's struggle and stand with them in their struggle? Stand with them while they're going through the divorce. Stand with them when the whole world's turned on with them. Show up at the hospital. Stand with them in that waiting room. Come on, you got to stand with some. What are you going to do, church? Which one are we going to be? Which one are we going to be? This Wednesday, I want somebody to show up at my house, stand with us as we celebrate some young people and as we reach out with the love of Jesus to people. Anybody going to stand with me? Anybody going to stand with me? Anybody going to stand? Come on, stand with me in my church, at my house. I want to tell you, the struggle is real, but so is my faith. The struggle is real, but so is my faith. How about this one? The struggle is real, but so is my God. My God is absolutely real. I'm going to stand with you. The struggle is pushing, right? It's working. It's striving. I'm going to push with you. I'm going to work with you against your struggle. We got to do it, church. Let's do it. Work with you. Strive with you. The struggle is real. If it's real, let's stand together. If it's real, let's not put it off like it's not a thing. If it's real, let's stop throwing around Christian cliches and really get a hold of God. What do you say? I'm so thankful that the Christmas account doesn't leave out the struggle. The Christmas story is full of struggle. I'm so glad that the writers of the Christmas story included some of that struggle. But can I also tell you this? In a very different way, I'm equally glad that the Christmas story doesn't focus on that struggle. Because there's one thing to admit you have struggle, and then there's the other extreme where that's all you focus on. It's all someone talks about, their struggle, struggle, struggle. The Christmas story includes the struggle, but it's not the focus of the story. The arrival of God, Emmanuel, robed in flesh to the earth, that's the focus of the story. God with us is the focus on the story. Jesus Christ, born in a manger, is the focus of the story. Can I tell you, that's how the Bible story is? That's how your story ought to be. That you have struggle included in your story, but it's not the main character in your story. The main character is Jesus Christ, and he is present and seeing you through your struggle. That's what the Bible is. That's what your story needs to be. Our focus should be on the arrival of Jesus in our life. Last week, we talked about the pain between Joseph and Mary. We're going to pick up in the first chapter of Luke, where the angel, what's the angel's name? Gabriel tells us. Gabriel is talking to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Gabriel says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Gotta ask you, have you ever seen a desperate woman in a hurry? You ever see a woman that's desperate and in a hurry? I've seen that. She is told by the angel that she would have a miraculous birth and that her cousin Elizabeth would also have a miraculous birth. Now, this was a big deal because this was a surefire sign that what the angel told her was true. If her cousin is miraculously at an old age in her 6 months of pregnancy, then what the angel said about her pregnancy can also be believed. Do you understand? Yeah. It's almost like a litmus test. Okay, I hear the angel. He told me this. So if he says this and it's true, then this is probably true as well. If this isn't true, then I'm not going to pay that angel no mind. Understand? You're with me so far. So, she went to see Elizabeth. One reason, obviously, is to confirm the word that she received. However, she may have also wanted to go see Elizabeth because that was her cousin. And she just heard that her cousin was pregnant after many, many years of struggle and barrenness. And it just seemed impossible that her cousin Elizabeth would ever have a child. That family line was going to die off. And now she hears news that a person she loves, who has been struggling for years, is now getting everything that she ever prayed for. And guess what? Maybe, just maybe, Elizabeth, Mary wanted to go see Elizabeth to celebrate. You ever think about that? In the middle of her problem, maybe she didn't just focus on her problem, but she actually focused on the struggles of others and was moved with a celebratory feeling to go celebrate with her cousin on this good news. So Mary, it says that she hurried, right? She hurried to a small town in the hill country of Judea. History reports the city to be called Ein Kerem. And as far as a hill country, other translations actually use the word mountainous region. Can you imagine traveling through a mountainous region? Not on a Range Rover, not in a Jeep, not an SUV. No, we're walking. No, we're riding some kind of donkey. We are traveling on a mountain. Everybody say mountain. Ein Kerem is 90 miles from Nazareth, where Mary was. Elizabeth was just not down the block. She wasn't just like, oh my goodness, I'm going to run next door and see cousin Elizabeth. No, she was 90 miles away. The assurance that Mary sought was 90 miles away on a mountain somewhere. And does Scripture say that anyone traveled with Mary? Doesn't say that. Scripture leads us to believe that she made this journey by herself. And she is in the early stages of what? Pregnancy, right? Are any ladies, I'll let you answer this. Guys, none of you answer this. Ladies, are any of the stages of pregnancy easy and to be not taken seriously? Gosh, they're being really quiet. Possibly. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to say no on that, right? There are many physical and emotional struggles in pregnancy. There's morning sickness, there's fatigue, there's mood swings, there's headaches, and that's just to name a few of the struggles that come with pregnancy. Mary's situation was full of struggle. 90 miles away, all alone, mountaintop, pregnant. But I gotta ask you this, who other than Elizabeth could understand the struggle of Mary? Who other than Mary could understand the struggle of Elizabeth? They were both having miraculous pregnancies that would fulfill messianic prophecies. Their struggle actually puts them front and center in the Christmas story. Mary and Elizabeth had each other. Isn't that wonderful how God sometimes gives us someone? It's powerful. It's wonderful when a brother or a sister stands by someone in a struggle and that they strengthen each other in their faith. I want to tell you, you are not the only one with a struggle. One of the best things for somebody to do in the middle of a struggle is to go help somebody. Stop, get off your pity party. Just get off, just get, whatever you're doing, sitting in a corner crying, stop that long enough to go help somebody. And you will be surprised how not only will you help someone else, but it brings such help and meaning for you. That struggle does not define your life. You don't have to let it define your life. And you can go find someone to share struggle with. You're not the only one with the struggle. We need each other. And we need each other all the more in struggle. So Mary, in her struggle, she struggled 90 miles to get to someone who could understand. And here Mary and Elizabeth strengthen each other. On this journey, Bible doesn't say this, but I'm pretty sure on this journey, Mary spent some time thinking about how she was going to face Joseph. She left Joseph behind. Every mile she takes towards Elizabeth, she's 1 mile further from Joseph. But even though she's a mile further from Joseph, her heart is still there. Her mind is still there. Her emotions are all tied to where Joseph is, to the moment where she is going to have a face-to-face conversation with him. Don't you think every step of that journey she thought, oh my goodness, he's going to say this, and then maybe I'll say this, and then he'll say this. You have these conversations, you have these prep conversations in your head. Let me tell you, I've won every argument in my prep time. It's like, it's amazing. But then when I talk to my wife, you know, it's different. But she's walking that way, and she, you know, maybe I'll cook for him. Maybe I'll sit him down. Maybe, yeah, you should sit down for this, Joseph. And she's thinking all these things through. Let me tell you, those moments didn't stop when she reached Elizabeth. And she stayed there, we don't know how long, but I imagine she didn't just stay there like 5 minutes and turn around. She probably stayed there for days, maybe weeks. Don't you know that she thought about it every day? Don't you know she prayed about it every day? Don't you know she talked about it? It was all she could talk about. I mean, maybe like for a second they would talk about the weather. Maybe for a second they talk about cute girls' names, boy names. Maybe they talk about those things. But then they'd have to come back to, oh, I don't know, Elizabeth, what am I going to do? What is it? What if he does this? Well, if he does that, you're going to do that. And they're talking. They're strengthening each other. But I want to tell you, her struggle was right there in her mind, front and center. And I imagine a large amount of time was playing out how that conversation would go. Mary was struggling with the unknown, but thank goodness for the support of Elizabeth. We don't know much about their conversation, but I imagine she was a wonderful support for Mary. But yet, the moment came where Mary had to leave her support in Elizabeth. And she had to travel alone back 90 miles to face her struggle head on. Can I tell you, life will require you to leave your support and face your struggle. It's awesome to have support, but there is a moment where you're going to have to leave that support behind and you're going to have to deal with your struggle face to face. She had Elizabeth, but she had to leave Elizabeth behind and go face her struggle. Mary had an angel, didn't she? She had an angel visitation in Luke 1:38, but it says these words. Read it in your Bible. It says it. Then the angel left her. Put that up on screen. There's this wonderful moment, but there's that end of the sentence. Then the angel left her. She had to walk away from Elizabeth. She had to walk away from the angelic visitation. Can I tell you, angels are not all around your pastor at all times. They might be. I'm sorry if you're guys. But they are not always like feeding me bread from heaven. No, there are times where I have to leave the support and face the Struggle, are you with me? Life is like that. Life will require you to leave the support, leave the comfort, leave the assurance, and go face the struggle. We all need the support of others, but life will require us to leave that support, face the struggle. Mary left her support, yet she was not alone because the angel also said this. What did he say? Greetings, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. Somebody say, the Lord is with you. Can I tell you, your support may go bye-bye, but God is with you in the struggle. God is with you in the struggle. As Mary stares her struggle in the face, as she looks at Joseph, and there's this moment, now she's got him in the room, she's looking at him face to face, and now she has to try to play out the best version of her conversation in real time, in real life, face to face. And as she does her best to save this marriage, maybe she has a complete monologue, like totally planned. It's like, no, let me talk first, Joseph. And she's like 67 years. And like she's got the best speech ever. Like she Googled the wrong speech. In this moment, after 90 miles and 90 miles face to face with Joseph, it's make or break time. She opens up her mouth. But then, in that moment, Joseph reveals to Mary that God had already spoken to him. That God had already revealed the truth to him. Mary, I'm sure your speech is really beautiful and wonderful. I'm sure that you and Elizabeth came up with some really expert talking points, but we don't need them. Throw away your notes, girl, because we're married forever. Can you imagine that moment? How many been in that moment where I've got this problem? I'm spending all my time worried about the problem. You show up to the problem. It's like, okay, and before you open your mouth, God has already spoken. If God has done that for you, can you rejoice in this house? Thank you, Lord. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. I want to lay this out for you. While Mary was 90 miles away, while Mary was in a place where it was impossible to influence the situation, God was with her in her struggle. Not only was she with her in Ein Kerem, God was always with her way back in Nazareth. God was with her in her struggle when she was over here with her support. Here's what's so great about God. He is everywhere at once. He is right here between Elizabeth and Mary, giving them strength, giving them support. And he is also here with Joseph, keeping him from making the biggest mistake of his life. Amen. God was with her everywhere. In her support and in her struggle, God spoke to Joseph and he fixed everything. Are you facing a struggle that you aren't even in a position to influence it anymore? Are you feeling that way? Like, I don't even know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to say. I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this thing. I don't know. Do I even need to see if I see this person? Like, you're running through the things. If I even do that, will that just make it worse? Maybe I need to do nothing. Maybe doing nothing's the worst thing. You'll get freaked out thinking of all these things. But there are times you're facing this struggle that you aren't even in a position to influence the outcome. I want to tell you real quick, that's really great news. That's really great news. And you're like, what? No, I need to be in control of things. I need to fix things. Oh, because you do such a wonderful job all the time, right? When you no longer can influence the situation, now it's up to God to influence your struggle. And how many know? He will. There are actually times where God has to get you out of town so he can fix things. Mary, why don't you take a trip? The worst, Mary couldn't do one thing to make that situation better. Like, she was only going to make it worse. Mary, why don't you take a trip? There are times where God has to get you out of an influential place. He needs to get you out of the driver's seat so he can show up and actually be God. He's with you in your struggle, but if you won't let him take the steering wheel, what good is he? Sometimes God's got to get you out of town. Look at somebody and say, sometimes God's got to get you out of town. There are times where God waits for you to exhaust all your effort so that he can show you his effort. The best place to be is where you give up your struggle and give it to God. Get this straight. I'm not telling you to give up on hope, not to give up on a future, not to give up on doing things, not to give up on trying. I'm not telling you those things, but to give up control of your struggle, to cast all your cares upon him, all your struggle upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And so you trust his care for you more than you trust your ability to solve the struggle. I'm going to say it again. You need to learn to trust God's care for you more than your ability to fix things, to influence things, to have the conversation. Let me tell you, church, that's why you need to pray. Prayer is a place where you are not fixing it, but you're saying, God, I know you care for me. God, I presented it to you. I lay it down at your feet. You fix the thing. Our God is Emmanuel. He is with us everywhere. He is with us in the struggle. And your struggle is no struggle for God. Can you say that to somebody? Your struggle is no struggle for God. There are these struggles that push on you. Remember, these struggles, the definition is pushing, working, striving. Well, there's these struggles, they push on you. If you don't push on them, you can't just ignore them. They will just push on you like a 3-year-old in the middle of your bed who wants oysters. I don't know where I got that. It's called Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That happens. That happens, all right. These struggles, they push on you. And your effort doesn't seem to amount to much. But your struggle is not able to push God around. Let the struggle push all at once. It's no match for God. Every struggle that Mary faced, I want to tell you, God took control of it. God took care of it. We talked about that 90-mile trip in her pregnancy. Guess what? Later in the pregnancy, she was made to travel 80 miles to a city named Bethlehem. 80 miles. And she was actually so late in her pregnancy that she was in labor. Can I tell you, the struggles keep coming. In Bethlehem, they found no place to stay. The struggles keep coming. King Herod starts killing young boys in an effort to kill the Messiah. The struggles keep coming. The struggles kept coming. But God kept coming. God saw Mary through every one of these struggles. Do you believe God will do that for you? Friend of God, don't you know that he will do that for you? God was with her every step of the struggle. She literally carried God incarnate within her as she made every step of that journey, the 90-mile journey. God was with her. That 80-mile journey, God was with her. When she wasn't allowed in the inn but was taken to a stable, God was with her. When her and Joseph were running for their life, hoping that King Herod's men would not find her, God was with her. The struggles kept coming. The struggles remained even when Jesus grew up to be a boy, even when he grew up to be a man. Don't you know, when he died, when he hung on the cross, the struggles kept coming, but God was with her every step of the way. I want to tell you that Mary literally held God's presence in her hands. God is with us in our struggle, literally. You can carry God's presence inside of you. It's what we call the Holy Spirit. don't have much time to spend on this, but the incarnation is where God puts on a bod. When God comes inside of a body called Jesus Christ and he puts on flesh and he walks around, and suddenly that flesh is under the anointing and the power of the Spirit. Now, you should have your own type of incarnation where the Spirit of God dwells in you and you're born again by the Holy Spirit. And now it's not just you walking around, but the Spirit of God. His Spirit is anointing you, it is filling you, and it is sending you and fighting your battles. You ought to be an incarnation. You ought to be the very presence of God living inside a bod. When you go and you heal somebody, when you go and feed somebody, when you go and jump someone's car because their battery died, when you go and invite someone and tell someone about the love of Jesus, that's the incarnation at work. That is the Spirit of God that dwells in you, quickening your mortal body, doing something powerful in the flesh. I'm going to tell you right now that God is with us in the middle of the struggle. And there is something about walking up with the Spirit of God in me, and I walk up on a struggle, and that Spirit stands up in me, and it changes the situation. And now the Spirit walks with me into the struggle, into the fire, and you can actually pull some from the fire, the Bible says. What is that? That's the incarnation. That is God now becoming incarnate inside of you. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. I tell you what, we love this story of Christmas. It's so wonderful, but it wasn't supposed to end at that manger. Can I tell you something? The Christ story is not supposed to end at the cross. You need to go on 50 days later to a place called Pentecost, where the same Mary who gave birth to Jesus is infilled with the Spirit of Jesus. And new life comes in her, and power comes in her. And all those people that failed over and over again, people like Peter, they stood up in the middle of a struggle, and they saw healing, they saw power. That's the incarnation. I'm telling you, that's the Christmas story right there. If we're going to talk about God with us, we also got to talk about this: God in us. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? You need the Spirit living inside of you. The struggle is real, but so is God. We often think God must not be with us because of the struggle we're facing. We incorrectly think that if God were with us, we would probably be struggle-free. Not so. That's incorrect. The struggle does not chase God off. The presence of struggles does not mean God's presence is diminished. Say that again. The presence of struggles does not mean God's presence is diminished. The presence of struggles does not mean God's promise will not come to pass. The Christmas story is proof of this very fact. Your struggle is will. So do you want God to handle your struggle today? Could you just close your eyes and just come to a conclusion on that question? Do you really want God to handle your struggle today? Open your eyes. I want to talk to you. We do three things every time we come into Redemption Church. Every time we open these doors, we do these three things. Number one, we worship God. Wasn't it fun worshiping God today in this place? His presence was in here. Isn't that awesome? You can clap your hands for that. I like it when you clap your hands for God in his presence. Number two, we do this every time. We receive the Word of God, and we just did. We just looked into the Word of God right now. Now comes that third thing. It is time to talk to God. And I want you to come surrender your struggle to God today. I want you to come declare that the struggle is real, but so is God. And declare that, God, you are bigger than my struggle. The struggle is to push. It's to work. It's to strive to achieve or attain something in the face of difficulty or resistance. Mary pushed, struggled 90 miles to get to someone who understood. I want to tell you, you do not have to travel 90 miles today. The one who understands is here with you now. I want to tell you there's also brothers and sisters in this room that want the opportunity to stand with you in your struggle. I want to tell you today, I want to just invite you to come. You can come now. If you want somebody to stand with you in this struggle, why don't you come in the first 2 feet? We'll pray with you. We'll reach out to God with you. We will stand with you. But also I know this, God is going to stand with you in your struggle because the one who understands is here with us right now. The Lord is with you. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room. Lord, I thank you for everybody watching and listening online. Lord, there's so many people with struggles. Friend, child of God, you are not alone in your struggle. We do not judge you. We love you. And God doesn't judge you in your struggle. He loves you. And I speak God's love to you. I speak God's truth to you. I speak the presence of God to you, that he is with you in the room and that you can reach out to him and find him right in the middle of your struggle. Father, touch every one of them. Touch everyone in this room. Touch everyone watching and listening online. God, let them come into contact with your wonderful presence, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's really get in God's presence. If you need a miracle in your life, you need to be in the first 2 feet. If you want to see God move in your life and move in your family like never before, I tell you what, I would be in the first 2 feet. Come on, let's do it today. We're going to reach out to God in this place in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.